Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Live podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome, welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know every month we have our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul on the show to talk about health and the healing process. Our text line is not yet operational, so I'm sad to say we don't get to take text calls or text line questions today, but we've got a backlog of some listener questions, and we have a few topics that we want to cover for sure. So the first one is the mental health crisis. When I asked Dr. Troy, when I saw him at the clinic a week or two ago, I said, what's on your heart? He said the top of the thing on his heart right now is the mental health crisis and the explosion of it that we've seen in the past few years. So what do we need to know? What do we need to do? Also, we've touched on this in past shows, but we want to really expound on it if we can today, and it's the overuse of antacids and what we ought to know about our body's pH balance. That may be super interesting to some, not so much to others, until we start talking about it. Everybody has a pH level in their bodies, and it matters. If it's out of whack, it causes a whole host of other problems. And also, this one I was interested in, and it shows you what a nerd and a geek I am. He's like, what about you? What's on your heart? I'm like, the lymph system. Because our hearts are a pump, or they have a pump. You know, they pump the blood, right? But the lymph system did not come with a pump. Why is that? Well, we're supposed to move. We manually pump it by our movement. Why do you suppose God did that? Well, we're going to explore that as well. Now, a quick reminder, even though we're not taking questions, that Dr. Troy doesn't join us to give specific medical advice over the airwaves. You always want to consult with your doctor before you make any changes. But this really is for the purpose of exploring that God wants you well. He wants you to flourish, and every step towards health and healing matters. We'll get him on in just a moment. Quick announcement. We are giving away one copy every day in May of Max Lucado's new book, In the Footsteps of the Savior. You can register to win on our website at myfaithradio.com. The month is almost up, so we got a few more days left to give copies away. Go to myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Troy Sproul is a founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Love to be back here.
Love our conversation. So before we dig into the topics of the day, let's make it personal. What's God been talking about these days?
Well, it's just some of the suffering people are going through. And I brought in 2 Corinthians 1:9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. And for me, that's something. I've just had a lot of conversations with patients who it's the end of the rope conversations.
Wow.
And I used to have these maybe once a quarter, or it was just, infrequent, and it's daily right now, sometimes 3, 4, 5 times a day. And people are really struggling. But with that, I want everyone to know too, like right now it's a season of Red Sea moments. Across the board, we're seeing a lot of people struggling. They feel like there's nowhere to go. They're trapped, and they even feel like death is upon them. And then there's a Red Sea moment.
Wow.
And we're having that as well, where we're having these miraculous breakthroughs. And my message has been the same for all the people that are coming in. Eyes on God. We've got to keep your eyes on God and ask better questions, and then listen, be obedient. And as we're doing this, this is really just bringing people towards God. And we've talked before about how I'm seeing a shift in healthcare, and there's certain things happening, and I'm seeing God being brought into healthcare, and I'm seeing miracles.
Amazing.
And so that's the blessing that we're starting to see. But I want people to hear that if you feel you're in that Red Sea moment, like your life is just at a certain state, that you look to God. Because you won't have any worry or concern, because you know that God will provide that Red Sea moment for you.
I want you to let that in for a moment. We're in a season of Red Sea moments. You know, he makes a way where there is no way. And scripture says a pathway no one knew was there,
yeah,
except for God. But, you know, you are hearing a lot about this explosion of mental health crises. You know, it's exploded. No matter how you slice it, people in all professions are saying they're seeing it everywhere. And many, of course, have said over the last few years is, you know, the conglomeration of all the social stresses is kind of the catalyst for the reason for that. What about you?
Yeah, we're seeing it. A lot of it is just since COVID, a lot of the things that came out of COVID was really what set this off. But there's also just like the culture and everything. Everything's just kind of expanding right now. And one of the things, I was at a conference, medical conference, about 3, maybe 4 weeks ago. And one of the things that kind of took me aback was they did a study on medical doctors and had found that 22% of them had tried to commit suicide, which is
wow,
the end stage of just this high-level depression. And so there's just a lot of stress. And then they went through depression and those numbers. And right now, in the age group of 5 to 24-year-olds, suicide is the number two cause of death right now since 2020. And that's just increased quite a bit. Same with depression. And the good news, though, is the number one cause for depression, there's two really, is other than the influential outside environmental factors, which we can go through later, it is inflammation and insulin resistance. Though these are two things we have control over. And so we're seeing a lot of reasons for the increase in inflammation. Our labs that we traditionally run on a lot of our patients have been coming back now for the last 2 years, where we have this conversation 90% of the time where inflammation is off the charts and people may be eating the right diet and doing a lot of things right, but we're just measuring all these inflammatory reactions happening within the body.
And there's so many factors involved,
yes,
in that, right?
I mean,
and if you're stressed, if you're not managing your stress, that's an inflammatory factor. If you're not sleeping, that is, right? And if you're feeling stressed and you're defaulting to carbs, you're causing more inflammation.
Yes.
And
exactly.
So is it true that like most of the packaging that crinkles is are inflammatory foods?
like what?
Chips?
Chips? Yes, absolutely. So at the same seminar, actually, they went through some of the things that we now know one of the top chemicals in the body that can contribute to inflammation and Alzheimer's. I was trying to think, memory loss, but I couldn't remember what it was. And so the uric acid, when it goes high, actually, we know it in the medical world is gout when it affects the toe and you get a big red swollen toe. Well, at lower levels, if it's being stored in other tissue, it causes other problems. If it's stored in the brain, it's memory loss. So it'll legitimately cause a lapse of why did I come in this room? And like stuff like that, that we kind of go through, but we don't recognize as being a problem until much, much later. But it's kind of like gout of the brain. We're seeing this uric acid buildup. Well, the number one cause of elevated uric acid is high fructose corn syrup, or that comes from pop, and candy. So pop and candy are driving this high fructose corn syrup up. And then number two, though, is mild dehydration and carbs. So that is chips, basically. So for many people where they just have a little couple chips here, which we all know that it's rare for the human being that can really have three chips, not the whole bag type of scenario, but they do exist. But chips end up being one of the worst things you can do to drive up this uric acid.
Wow.
And acid, like fire, can burn the body in a different way. And so we're not just talking about inflammation like sugar inflammation. So sugar, when you consume it, causes an inflammatory reaction. Then it gets converted to a fructose, which gets converted to uric acid, which causes the acidic burn. So you get kind of burned twice, so to speak. And it's literally our brain and our cells on fire that causes a lot of these reactions. So that's really the big problem. So chips is one of the big culprits. And when we're stressed, what do we crave?
Yeah.
Salt and sugar. Yeah,
chips and guac. It's like one of my favorite things in the world.
Yep.
I do organic blue corn chips, but it's still chips and the bag still crinkles. So
yes,
it's a problem. Well, you know, I'm just asking you to guess, but you know, we've touched on this on past shows regarding depression, anxiety, that sometimes those are a result of your food choices. Like I have family members that have realized corn or grains or gluten. Another one, pork and peanuts. When they eat it, they go into the depression ditch. So when they found themselves in the ditch, at that time they were in such a deep ditch, they thought, do I need an antidepressant? And then when they identified the foods, it was like flipping a switch.
Yeah.
And so I'm not dissing meds because some people, you know, they've felt like that's a lifeline for them. But guessing how many do you suppose are really dealing with either stresses that they're not dealing with or food choices that maybe aren't bugging their gut, but they're affecting their system?
This may sound really high to you, but everyone we work with, we find something. So I'm going to say close to 90% Whoa. Of the people that come in, and we're not against medications. We're against the improper use of medications. You always, if you get put on medication and it helps, that's great. But look for the root cause. We were not born with a vitamin P or vitamin Prozac deficiency. That didn't happen. Now, they will save lives. So the majority of people we work with, if they go on an antidepressant and it works for them, then we start digging in and say, okay, how did this happen?
So this creates a buffer for you. So
yes,
you
it gives
can
us
do
time
some
to really figure out yeah. what's at the root cause yeah. of the problem. And a lot of times it is inflammation in the gut or in the brain or somewhere in the body that's driving that. And just had a beautiful young woman who is really struggling, and we found corn was her big trigger. And corn's a sneaky one because they put corn in everything. Toothpaste has corn. Mm. So it's not just what you eat, it's what you put in your mouth. She had to remove gum, chewing gum, which has corn, and toothpaste to stop getting the negative inflammatory reactions to get things starting to work up again. And so it's very, very common for people to not realize a lot of what they're putting on their body and in their body may be triggering an inflammatory reaction somewhere, which then sets off a cascade of burning up dopamine or serotonin. And the majority of serotonin is made in the gut. So when the inflammation's there, then you don't have enough. And we lose a lot of these feel-good brain chemicals because of food and because of the stressors that cause a imbalance with our bacteria, which then causes an imbalance with the production of those brain chemicals.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the natural ways you can improve and increase your dopamine, your serotonin levels, oxytocin, things like that, and any other remedies that you would love to see us address in this healthcare crisis. As I always say, every step towards health and healing matters. So we're going to take next steps towards health and healing. So thankful for Ryan Mitchell producing for us today. Appreciate him stepping in at the last minute. Dr. Troy Sproul is my guest today. We're talking about mental health. We're talking about overuse of antacids. We're talking about the lymph system. And we'll address a few listener questions we didn't get to last time. More with Dr. Troy in a moment. Listen to Faith Radio live or on demand no matter where you go. You can download the free Faith Radio app in your app store today. Having a great conversation today with our good friend, Dr. Troy Sproul. He's CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. And we're talking about several things today. We're talking about the mental health crisis. We're talking about the overuse of antacids and the lymph system. These are all things that just I want to talk about. So I'm super grateful that we get to dig in. And then we've got some listener questions that I think are very interesting. So we've been talking about the explosion of mental health crises that we've seen in the last 3 years. And to go back, would you say that it's resulted? I mean, obvious social stresses. I mean, some of the things you're seeing on the news, and then isolation, you're away from community, and then stress eating. Would you just kind of say it's kind of a conglomeration of all of that?
Yeah, that was a good summary, actually, because it really does all add up. People need physical contact and touch and talking. Just they need that interaction. So that is a big part of it. We also are seeing a lot of detriment to the social media and just people being on their cell phones all the time. We're seeing some of the consequences of learning through computers or even just sitting at your computer desk all day long. I have a lot of people who started working from home, which was great, but then they lost a little bit of that break between the drive from home getting to the office that apparently meant a lot to their mental health.
Wow.
And so then when the work is right there, they can get to it or not get to it. And so there's sometimes discipline that's needed, and sometimes it's just too long in the same chair staring at the screen. And so there's a lot of factors there that come into it. And the dietary choices and the stress choices that we make are a big, big part of it. We're seeing less sleep and less exercise, so less quality sleep, less exercise. All these things kind of play into it. And there's a lot of, right now, at the last conference we're at, we're seeing a big spike in insulin resistance and cardiovascular compromise. And so fortunately at the clinic, we have a machine that measures if the arteries have been damaged, but we're seeing just a huge spike in damage of the arteries. Now, the reason why that's important is because we're having 20-year-olds come in as if they've been smoking for 70 years. And when you have arterial inflammation like that, it can't deliver oxygen. So one of the challenges we're seeing is people are walking around with less oxygen.
Wow.
And I know you're a doctor, and I'm a doctor.
But I play oxygen, one on radio, friends, yes. Just so you know.
Oxygen is really important to our brain and our cells.
Yep.
And so just by decreasing it a little bit, like 1/4 inch decrease in rib excursion, breathing in and out with your ribs, that's equal to an Olympic-sized pool worth of oxygen every day we're not getting.
Wow.
But when your arteries get compromised, that's very, very similar. So it's like basically being asked to run a marathon, but I'm going to cover your mouth so you can't breathe properly. It becomes much harder.
I bet you love the whole masking thing, but we won't talk about that.
No, I was...
I'm sorry. Okay,
yeah. So I was not a fan of how everything was managed. So if you're looking at how to boost the immune system and how to operate out of fear, what was done is the exact opposite of what should have been done.
Yeah. Cause you even talked about hugs and community raises your immunity, and isolation lowers your immunity. So there are ways to build up your immunity. Side note, I heard a phrase today called tech neck, and it's people that are staring at their phone, and everybody's basically doing it, but you're forced in one position all the time, and it's affecting brains. It's affecting how we process information, bodily systems, because we're not balancing it out. Like if you are a fitness person, you're working your bicep, you need to work your tricep. You know, if you're working your quad, you need to work your hamstring. But if we're stuck in the tech neck, you know, looking forward, hunched forward, they said these elderly people get that way over time because of the weight of their head, basically. But now young people are losing their posture because they're so hovered.
Well, it's not even the weight of their head. It's actually 2/3 of our brain fires to the muscles on the front side of our body, our flexors. 1/3 fires to our extensors. So you have more nerves that support the muscles on the front side. As your brain declines in function, we flex forward. That's why as you age, you flex forward.
That's why we do the wall angels.
That's why you do the wall angels, because you're stimulating the extensors. So the flexing forward is a sign of brain degeneration.
Whoa.
It's basically a sign of declining. And the problem is, and some it'll be habitual. If you're 14 years old, it's from being too far forward looking down at your phone. And that physical component, it literally decreases the airway. So you can't get enough oxygen when you're breathing at nighttime. So a lot of the tech neck is inducing sleep disorders.
Well, again, we're going to get to raising natural ways to raise the dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins. But I just got to say, you put all these pieces together and people would think they're of no consequence. You're on your screens till late at night. You're affecting the circadian rhythm of your sleep, right? You're comparing yourself to everybody on social media. You're stressed, so you've got this inflammatory reaction in your body. You're hunched forward, so you're depriving yourself of the full weight of your oxygen. I mean, think about all that. So it's like to do the opposite, to open up and to like you know, when we do live streams, Troy will kind of model what a wall angel is. And I do it every morning. Seven years ago, you told me to start, but I get up against the wall, put my whole back against, it's like a snow angel against the wall where you're pushing and flexing the muscles on the backside of your body. But managing your stress, taking deep breaths. I mean, all these things that you can do to, you know, to decrease the inflammation and improve your outlook. Now, again, I'm no doctor, but I play one on radio. So these are the few things I know that we can do, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, but then add to the list. But morning sun, I do know that's right, that you don't look at the sun, but to get morning sun in your eyes, to go for a walk without your sunglasses, raises the serotonin level, right?
Yes.
Exercise, of course, and sweating is super good for you.
Yes, sweating women. So it's very important. Most of my guys have no problem sweating. In fact, a lot of times their wives are asking them to sweat less, but it's very, very good for them.
I love sweat.
And women need to sweat. Yeah, but that's one of the healthiest things you can do to detoxify your body.
And I mean, if you have an infrared sauna, I will just tell you, we bought one 15 years ago to manage pain, joint pain for me in the winter. Little did we know we would need it for mold detox. And I'm in it about 5 times a week. I cannot even believe how different I feel. And I will just tell you, a friend of ours found one on eBay for $350. So if you have a will, you'll find a way, right? And what other ways can you raise the serotonin level? Exercise.
Deep sleep, also helps raise serotonin. Decreasing intestinal inflammation can help increase serotonin. Serotonin basically gets lowered with stress, infection, and inflammation. So if you help address anything that lowers your stress.
Give me those three again.
Stress infection, and inflammation.
Got it.
So those are the three things. So if someone's deficient in omega-3 fish oils and they take them, that will increase potentially their serotonin because you just reduced inflammation.
Hmm.
If there's a low-grade infection that has been dealt with, yeast and fungus is most common, and you address that, that can help take care of it. Inflammation from sugar and diet, all of those things help with serotonin. We also see B6 is needed for the conversion of tryptophan to 5-hydroxytryptophan and then serotonin. And then you have to make sure your melatonin levels are good. And so melatonin is an antioxidant for the lungs and for deep sleep. And so that helps raise your serotonin as well. The bacteria in the gut is crucial for both dopamine and serotonin.
Wow. And I will tell you on the backside, one of the questions we have is about insulin resistance and the implications in the other parts of your body systems, but also cholesterol and statins and the impact of those as well. Okay, so let's see here. Oh, okay. We've got about a minute and a half, so okay. I'm trying to think of where I want to go about where. Okay, let's talk about this. We just got about 2 minutes to talk about the power and the importance of taking thoughts captive and thinking redemptively. Here's another thing having to do with the mental health crisis.
Because
so often people want to take a pill. I just want to say that without doing the work of watching your thoughts. And all of these factors play in, don't they?
Yeah, there's so much to guarding your thoughts. So we actually, at the clinic, as part of the healthcare regimen, we have a program to work on the foundational stuff you're just talking about, teaching people how to breathe again. One of the things we teach them is how to recognize when their thoughts are getting in the way of their healing. And we see this all the time. Like guys will look in a mirror and women will look in a mirror and it can be two completely different realities. Women will generally pick themselves apart and go into self-condemnation. Guys may have this big beer gut and say, not too shabby. And they're just like not realistic with what that needs to, yeah. So both of them are not right. Those are the two extremes. And so the reality is, if there's a lie you can identify about yourself, if there's a lie you believe and you reverse it, then your mental health will change instantly.
Come on.
And so it's very, very important for people to look at, is there a lie that you actually believe? The way you can tell if you're lying to yourself, if you hear an excuse come out of your mouth. An excuse is nothing more than a reason wrapped in the skin of a lie.
An excuse is nothing more than a reason wrapped in the skin of a lie.
Yep.
Wow.
And so that's how you can identify if you're being led by lies. So just watch the excuses.
Love it. Another way that you can identify is if you can finish the sentence, I'm not worth. What aren't you worth? Healing, marrying, saving, rescuing, redeeming, promoting. If you can finish that sentence, there's a lie in there somewhere. And God always wants to reveal the lies we believe so he can show us the truths that we need. Talking to Dr. Troy Sproul today about mental health, overuse of antacids. We're going to talk about cholesterol and statins and about the lymph system. And I might be the only person interested in the lymph system, but it's interesting, right? I mean, Dr. Troy has favorite parts of the brain, so you can give me this, right? I can talk about the lymph system. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul is here today. He's the founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He joins us every month to talk about health in the healing process, and he is truly one of our favorites. We just had a really great and long conversation about the mental health crisis, and this is probably good that we couldn't get text today because I wanted to take as much time as we needed. And this applies to all of us because you might either be in the deepest ditch where you feel like you don't want to live anymore, or you might be on the rumble strips where your gut is in a knot and you're allowing lingering thoughts of self-contempt, that's not good for you. Even that has physiological implications. So all of us need to be ruthless with thoughts of insecurity, letting the enemy rule our thoughts. You know, there's so many other things we can do to manage stress, look at our diet, because our mental health really is important for all of us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We are on a journey. So it's like climbing a mountain where there's peaks and valleys. And just because you got to the first peak doesn't mean there's not going to be another valley. And so that's why I put on the armor of God every day. And I feel the difference when I do that and when I don't, when I forget. Mm-hmm. And so it is crucial to know that as, especially as we're being obedient with what God wants us to do and how he wants us to be, know that it's not just going to be an upward climb. Mm-hmm. We're climbing a mountain and we are getting stronger because it's literally, it's exercise and God is fueling us. And when we're stuck in the darkness of the valley, what cures darkness? Light.
Light. Yeah.
And so, but we can't stick to our story of why we're a victim in that darkness. And so if you're in a dark spot, just know, take that step forward and in the light. And there are people that will love to walk alongside you. And at the first thing that we tell people is just stop, ask a better question, and then listen. Ask God what he wants you to know in this moment. And then ask the people around you. Ask for help and the right person who knows this path, who knows this journey. A lot of times it's someone who's been there before, will walk up alongside you along that path and get to the next peak. And when that next peak, you feel so good because the sun is shining and you feel accomplished because you just got to a peak.
Yeah.
And then you keep going.
So good. Yep. An author friend of mine, regarding the armor of God, she said, you know, the armor of God is really the fullness of Jesus expressed. And so when you picture stepping into your shoes of peace, he's the Prince of Peace. You put the belt of truth on. He is the truth that sets men free. You step into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And scripture in the Psalms 18, it says, you give me your shield of victory. Your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. It's the sword of the Spirit. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and he is the Word.
Yes.
And then you've got the helmet of salvation of eternity. He has secured our eternity. And that's really put on a different, for me, when I step into the armor, I'm stepping into the fullness of who Jesus is. That just gives me so much more of a sense of groundedness in what I possess in him, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really awesome.
And then when we're in a Red Sea moment, you're like, okay, you're looking for where it's about to part.
Come on. That's
you're like,
right.
Yeah, because you know it's going to happen.
Come on.
I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
I know the sea's about to part right here.
That's right. Yeah. Red Sea moments are part of my inheritance. So there yes. you go. Okay. Antacids, pH balance. This is super interesting to me. We've touched on it in the past. But again, you know, from what if I remember right, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but years ago I remembered reading that antacids can block the absorption of really important nutrients, and they actually can backfire. So they may give you in the short run some kind of relief from being overly acidic, but they can cause other problems. And really, again, you're always after the root cause. So
yeah.
Take it.
So same example as before, not against antacids because they can stop the acid burden from causing damage and causing, you know, severe problems. But again, what's the root cause issue there? So there's a reason why your acid got out of balance. A lot of times it's because we're stuck in a fight or flight response, not in a rest and digest response. Mm. The brain is being wired to actually have you run away from danger. This happens with chronic stress. So the area of the brain called the pontomedullary reticular formation doesn't stimulate the vagus nerve properly, and we don't release the stomach acid at the right time. Or we have problems with zinc or histamine. Those are the other two things needed to release stomach acid. So think about all the increase in allergies, seasonal allergies and things like that. That's a histamine scenario. And so little things like that can actually throw off your stomach acid. Food reactions, alcohol, coffee, sugar, all can throw off the stomach acid. So look for those underlying root cause issues and address them first. If you block your stomach acid, then you're changing the pH of your intestinal tract. And changing the pH of intestinal tract is like changing the pH of your soil and your garden. Weeds are going to grow versus the good crops.
Mm.
Bad bacteria and fungus are going to grow versus the good bacteria. Good bacteria release things like B vitamins. Bad bacteria and fungal release acids. So the weird thing is low stomach acid, because it's being blocked by the medication, will cause high body acid. Now, this is what we know about body acid. Remember I was talking earlier about uric acid. Uric acid causes gout in the toe, but it can cause memory loss in the brain. Acid is not good for our body. It damages your mitochondria, the energy or powerhouse of your cells. And so if it's in the heart muscle, it can actually cause heart disease. If it's the kidneys have to be taking the acid out. So it actually starts to damage our kidneys, which will also affect our cardiovascular system and a lot of other factors. So having a proper pH or acid balance in the body is crucial. And when you go on long-term antacids, there's a lot of detriment. And they may be listening now, but there's a patient that flew in, and I know you know who you are if you're listening, because she was a listener from 2 years ago, and I think she's referred her entire neighborhood from Maryland.
I love it.
From the state of Maryland. And so she was on it for 15 years and a lot of...
Wow.
And I had spoken about how when your mitochondria becomes damaged, it doesn't protect the DNA. One of the risk factors is cancer. And her story was exactly what I had spoken about because she did everything right, ate right, prayed, got to sleep, exercised, did everything in life right, but was on this medication for an extended period of time and ended up with cancer. And she was one of those people that was saying, how in the world did this happen? Well, this explained it, and then we were able to work with the underlying condition. And truthfully, she was so healthy with everything else. It was easy to transition her into a healthier lifestyle, but we still had to teach the brain to regulate the stomach properly and correct the things that were off 15, 20 years ago.
Wow. And so let's talk about some of the ways you can alkalize your body if you're bent towards the acidic nature, right? So you talked about greens are really important. I'll have you speak to that. And just a few foods that I know of, bananas and cucumbers, but maybe start with the greens because they're like powdered greens that you can drink. Should everybody do that or only somebody who's imbalanced or...
Everyone should really be consuming vegetables with a few exceptions. Fruit, 1 to 2 servings. I want everyone to hear that. 1 to 2 servings of fruit, not 6 servings of fruit and 1 serving of vegetables. Vegetables are much, much more important. Strangely enough, though, we know from like the ketogenic and carnivore diet where it's just like fat and protein, that also alkalizes you, even though those foods are acidic because there's a net reaction of dumping the acids. So it's all about how your body responds to it. Generally speaking, though, most people need vegetables. And there are some, like I said, there are some caveats with that. There are certain things like if you look at calcium in particular, calcium like Tums, calcium neutralizes acid. One of the reasons why osteoporosis occurs in women as they get through menopause is because their stomach acid goes down because of chronic stress or something with their GI tract or the act of menopause caused an adrenal stress reaction, and then their body becomes a little more acidic. Well, your body will pull calcium to neutralize the acid from the bones.
Wow.
And so
it weakens the bones.
That weakens the bones. Wow. And you don't have the estrogen that helps protect the bones anymore. It's one of the main reasons why we see liberation of things like lead in women in their 50s and 60s, because a lot of women who are in their 60s now grew up with leaded gasoline and stuff. And so in that leaded car environment, lead was breathed in their body and then stored in the bones. And then as they go through osteoporosis or these subtle changes, the lead gets released into their system. We actually see a spike increase in heavy metals like lead that they were exposed to back in the 70s.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. How does a person know if they've got a pH imbalance and what is the average person to do to keep a healthy pH?
So you actually can get urine strips and check your saliva and your urine to see what the pH is. That's one thing. When you get a blood test, they actually check your blood for pH. One of my favorite tests is carbon dioxide and anion gap, which is just a calculation gives us a sense of our pH. And your pH can go off if you're not exchanging oxygen for carbon dioxide. So people with lung conditions can have a bad pH. So that's how we know that there's a problem with pH. Some people actually can tell they're acidic. So once you assess it for a while, you can actually tell based on how you're going to the bathroom and even how your breath is and stuff once you start measuring them. And then once you actually start to pay attention to it and get some of the lab work stuff done, then you'll get a good sense of where you're at. To correct it, it's all about making sure your kidneys are healthy, first and foremost. And kidneys are really a cardiovascular thing. They're just it's a group of arteries that exchange minerals and nutrients there. So if you have cardiovascular problems like insulin resistance, it will compromise your kidneys. And so a lot of the heart and kidneys really go together. And so a lot of times when people have kidney problems, we see their blood pressure go up. And so a lot of blood pressure issues are really a kidney issue, which is really an acid imbalance issue, which is really an intestinal issue, which is really a low stomach acid issue, which is really a fight or flight issue.
Wow.
See, easy peasy.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Well, it circles right back around to how even you're addressing mental health issues, you know, really yeah. basic things. But and we can write them off as basic, but they're only basic if you're applying them.
Right.
Otherwise, it's new information that you want to apply, right?
Yes.
I mean, to pay attention to what you're thinking, how you're managing stress, if you're resting. So if someone is like drinking a lot of clean water and exercising and sweating and doing all those things and still they feel acidic, what else could that be?
So one of the things you said there that's really important too is if you're acidic and you're sweating, you will smell it in your sweat. So if they're still really acidic, it usually is an infection, like a fungal infection somewhere in the body, but usually the gut, because they release acids. It can be something like mild dehydration, like we said, with the uric acid. Different things make acid. Sometimes it's over-exercising and overtraining. That's rare, but it happens because just like a car uses gas and there's exhaust that comes out the end, all of our cells, our muscle cells, use fuel, oxygen and glucose, and there's lactic acid that gets released. So these acids get released. It's called byproducts of metabolism. And so sometimes it's because of our active metabolism. So sometimes it's not just our muscles, though. Sometimes it's with the brain and just mental stress. And so generally speaking, if there's something causing inflammation, that will also lead to an acid imbalance.
Hmm.
Occasionally, it is an actual nutrient deficiency somewhere or a hidden infection. So we're seeing a lot of viruses or parasites or things of that nature, bacteria, small bacteria like Lyme, that get inside the cell. But we also see when people's acids are balanced and their mitochondria are working, those infections don't take hold.
Interesting.
To your
wow.
point earlier on COVID, once I saw the research treating, we treated active COVID during the whole process from beginning to end for the last 2.5-3 years. And after a certain time period, I realized how ineffective the masks were, especially when they became saturated, even the N95. So it didn't serve anyone unless you were replacing them every 10 minutes. So I treated active COVID for 2.5 years. I still have never gotten it. I've still never had a symptom of COVID, never had anything remotely consistent with that, because we worked on boosting the immune system response and focusing on the things that don't allow it to take hold.
Wow.
And it never
wow.
did.
Wow, wow. And that's the whole thing. And that's a whole other show. We've talked about this before. When you live as a lifestyle, keeping inflammation down, when the storm comes, I remember, and I've referred to this story so many times, of this guy who lives on, you know, the gas station sodas and sweet rolls, and he's in his, what, 40s or 50s, and then you got an 80-year-old couple who are active and they're keeping their inflammation down. They get in a terrible car wreck and they walk away. He's barely rear-ended, and it sets off
yes.
this inflammatory response in his body, and why it's so important to be living, you know, in mind with, you know, so that these things don't take hold, so that you're really ready for whatever life brings you, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yes.
Before we go to the break, one last question. So the alkaline waters, a lot of people like those, but it, as a rule, would that not throw off your pH? Or does it not matter?
So a lot of people like them. I'm going to say they're a good tool in the toolbox, but by themselves, they're not going to make a significant change. Now that is not true for everyone. I've seen people really use them to
balance out the acid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, I like to look at the root cause of what else is setting it up. So if there's something else there, you have to address that as well.
Okay.
So otherwise it just becomes, just another expensive Band-Aid, but it can be worth it because if you don't know what you're dealing with, then there's value there.
All right. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the lymph system. It's probably 1 minute. It's such an obvious question, but I think it's interesting how fearfully and wonderfully made we are. And we'll talk a little bit about cholesterol and statins. And if we have time, we're going to take a few of these listener questions we didn't get to from last month. Dr. Troy Sproul is my guest today. Again, he's CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing in Eagan, Minnesota. And we will be back in a minute. Have you ever wondered what the Holy Land may have looked like through Jesus' eyes? Join pastor and New York Times bestselling author Max Lucado as he takes you on an unforgettable journey following Jesus through his life on earth, giving you a chance to see the Holy Land and God's heart for humanity in a brand new light. In Max's book, In the Footsteps of a Savior, it's an invitation to come alongside Max as he shares meaningful insights on the people and the places that shaped Jesus' life. In the special compilation, Max weaves together this in-depth teaching from a poignant point of view, reflecting on his time in the Holy Land, guiding you through three distinct aspects of Jesus' life: the arrival of the Savior, Jesus' ministry, the crossroads, and the cross. With beautiful photographs and thoughtful questions for reflection, In the Footsteps of the Savior will take you on a journey you won't want to miss. You can win a copy every day this month. Enter to win on Faith Radio app at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Dr. Troy Sproul is my guest today. We've had such a fantastic conversation. We've been talking about the mental health crisis and what are some remedies at home each of us can apply and should apply. Not just, don't wait till you're in the ditch where you feel like you want to die. And if you are there, call and get some help. But I'm saying so many people live on the rumble strips, on the edges of just misery, self-doubt, anxious thoughts without course correcting. And there are just things, basic things you can do that don't cost you any money, but there are course corrections. And so if you just tuned in, once the live show's over, then we'll be up and podcast within an hour. Go back and listen to the whole show. Totally worth it. Also talked about the overuse of antacids, the importance of pH balance in our bodies, and how really I would imagine that changes with stresses and life seasons. It's just something to be paying attention to. But okay, so this is just because I found it interesting. But, you know, our heart is this pump that pumps blood and pushes it around our body, right? And but the lymph system didn't come with a pump. That we're so fearfully and wonderfully made, but God purposely didn't put a pump in our lymph system, but our lymph system needs to move. So explain that and explain why do you think that is?
So first I'm going to say, there's a video that I did in 2014. It's called Your Immune System Under the Microscope. So it's a visual of what your lymph system looks like under a microscope. So you can go to YouTube and look that up. It's called Your Immune System Under the Microscope. We also have it on our website, the clinic. So this is a visual what I'm about to talk about. And the lymph system literally means, it's Greek for fast-flowing river or fast-flowing waters. So picture a river system just flowing, and all of our immune cells dump all the garbage or the bacteria and viruses that it grabs onto. It dumps it into the lymph system, to this river system. If you're not hydrated enough, that fast-flowing river and water is more like a lava stream or a dried-up riverbed. And that's when you get into trouble, because now these toxins or infections that you're supposed to be getting rid of are sitting there. And we see things like lymphomas increase in people who have exposure to chemicals like glyphosate and some of these cancer-causing chemicals. It's because of how they impact that part of the lymph system. And so we have to have that flowing river. Now, what actually causes it to flow is our muscle contraction. So we have to contract and use our muscles. We have to move to get the river to flow. So the brilliant design is twofold, because when we contract our muscles, a signal gets sent to our brain to actually keep it alive. And we know that, like, people, when they go into space for 2 years, they can only stay there for 2 years because they have to return to Earth. There's no gravity in space, so you don't contract your muscles, and they develop cognitive decline. Hmm. So for our brain to survive and stay strong, like a muscle would, you have to stimulate it. You do that with muscle contraction. So the brain stays strong, sends a signal back down to the body to deliver blood flow or nutrients to the exact areas that are you're trying to clean up. So then that lymph system gets pushed into the liver system, which is like our recycling plant. And it's going to break everything up down three different pathways. And it's going to basically help recycle certain things and dump the other stuff into our garbage area, which is our bowels. And so you eliminate. If there's a problem with hydration, like we say, it doesn't flow. If there's a problem with lack of movement, it doesn't flow. If there's a problem with too many toxins, it overflows the banks. If there's a problem with the liver and the recycling center is closed because of too much Tylenol or too much medication or too much hormones or too much environmental chemicals that mimic hormones, or the number one problem right now, insulin resistance causing non-alcoholic fatty liver. basically the fat is growing around the liver, suffocating it so it can't detoxify
properly. The recycle center's closed.
The recycle center's closed.
Oh, wow, what a way to put that.
Yep, and then if you have constipation, the recycle center is going to say, we can't accept anymore because we can't move the process along. So you have to make sure the bowels are moving. You have to make sure the recycling center liver is doing well. And you have to make sure the lymph is flowing. You have to make sure the muscles and the brain are working to actually push the lymph.
Oh, so interesting. Cholesterol. You don't always like to see super low cholesterol, right?
No, everything is dependent on the individual, the individual story, because cholesterol is our precursor for all of our hormones. So if you drive your cholesterol down too far, you could end up with hormone deficiencies. I just had a patient come in this week. That was the exact scenario. And so we had to, I had to tell her, we have to get your cholesterol higher because we need cholesterol for these hormones. And so that was a big, big challenge with her, is just the hormones were tanked. There's nothing there. So especially with young women in sports, when they're overtraining and not eating enough to fuel their body, their cholesterol can get too low and their hormones can get too low. And we start to see some problems.
On the flip side, remember, you know, I've said this, Kev's given me permission to share. 25 years ago, he had cancer, and around that time, they discovered his cholesterol was too high. Many family members of his all had high cholesterol, all were on statins. And so they put him on a statin and said, you'll never get off. Once you're on it, you're never off. But I'm telling you, at times he would run out of it and then get back on it, like, so he'd be off of it for a couple of days. I don't remember if it was in the in between before he got back on it, but whatever. As soon as he either got back on it or was off of it for a few days, his legs would buckle right underneath it. Like, he'd get up from the chair and almost fall to the floor. The pain was so, and he's like a young guy, and he's like, this cannot be good for me. And so I sent him to you, and you did a whole lab, and you guys worked together. He's been off statins now for years and is so happy. And I, again, don't get off your statins. I mean, walk with, you know, someone to do it the right way. But it's not a for sure sentence, as far as you don't have to stay on them, but there is a strategic way to get off of them.
Yeah, there's a few patients over the years we've had to keep on them. They've had to stay on there because we can't identify what's causing the inflammatory reaction to trigger the genetics. But the general rule of thumb is the genetics, they matter, but they don't matter. Because if you get everything else right, you can work around them. Yeah. Yes. And so creating an environment that's more friendly is going to not have the foam cells that are part of the immune system response send the signal to actually lay down the cholesterol and cause the plaquing. And so the most important thing is, how are the arteries doing? Are they working properly? Because we've had people, and we now know that there are a certain percentage of people who have normal cholesterol readings and still have heart disease while they're on the statins. So it's not about just getting the lab right. It's about how functional is the cardiovascular system and what set up the need for the statins in the first place. Because I know 200 years ago, humans still lived without statins. So there's just a lot there. And there are natural statins. And if you do have like leg muscle cramping issues while you're on a statin, what we do know is that you can take CoQ10 to help offset that, because statins do deplete CoQ10. Which are needed for that mitochondria. And like we said, when you get your mitochondria healthy and working, it changes everything for just how your entire body works.
I mean, tell me if this is right, but again, I thought I read this, so forgive me if I've got this wrong, but I thought there was a connection to statins and dementia. Is that right?
No, yeah, there is. Yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, so there are implications to, I mean, so the point being that if you can do anything else, you know, to help yourself along, it would be worth it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The important thing is not to ignore symptoms. Yeah. Like, body awareness as far as what works and what doesn't is really important. And there's always going to be a mental, chemical, physical, or spiritual answer or a combination of all the
Since
above.
We only have 2 minutes left, I'm going to ask you this question. I hear a lot about intermittent fasting. You say it's not for everyone. Can you explain why does it benefit some and not others?
Well, because we're all uniquely made, and we do know that 25% of the population just is wired differently with their genetics, but it's also lifestyle. So some people are trapped in a reactive hypoglycemia mode. So some people, our body reacts the same when your blood sugar is too high and when it's too low. And so it's all about how well you manage it. And everyone's at a different stage of how they manage sugar and insulin. And so you just have to listen to your body and know, and sometimes you have to train your body to become good at fasting. We know that generally speaking, fasting is going to be good for everyone eventually. But some people, it actually causes a hypoglycemic reaction, blood sugar drops too low, and they end up going into some more serious consequences. It's like that Snickers commercial. Everyone knows that you can turn into a diva. You're not quite yourself.
Yes.
So if that's you, then there's a chance that that's a problem. But the good thing is now they have these wearables, continuous glucose monitors, where you can actually have those on you for 2 to 4 weeks, and you can tell if you're actually having a low blood sugar reaction or if it's just a detox reaction. Because if your sugar's staying fine, a lot of people we have found are saying, oh, I can't do that. I go into low blood sugar, and it's not.
They're going into detox mode.
Which is a good thing.
Wow. So it's not a bad thing to practice maybe little baby steps, maybe just give yourself maybe take a meal out or something.
Fasting is so healthy, and it induces autophagy, which cleans up so many things.
Yeah, so maybe we can do a show on that. Just creative ways to do that will help people.
Yes.
Dr. Troy, thank you for the time today. It's been fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always love and appreciate it.
Thought I was done there for a second.
Yeah, no, you're not done yet, but now you are.
Yes.
Thank you, friends, for tuning in today. I pray you found some encouragement here. We sure love and appreciate you. If you love this show, this is one that tends to make its way around. Go ahead and share it. Once the live show's over, it goes to podcast and share it with your friends. Be a radio missionary. Every step towards health and healing matters. Every step. So take your next step. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.